Hey Bloodies, Rashad here, and I just want to let you know we're giving away free movie codes for the new popular bunker thriller American Refugee that is now available on digital and on demand. A little bit about the movie. In the midst of societal collapse, the Taylor family's last chance at survival is a neighbor's bunker, where their fate lies in the hands of the family patriarch. When tensions rise, who can really be trusted? Buy or rent American Refugee and watch it today, unrated from Paramount Pictures, or enter to win our giveaway. Here's what you gotta do. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, screenshot it, follow and DM us on Instagram, and we will send over the free movie code. That's right, free. The first 5 to enter win. Thanks for listening. Love you guys. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blood and Firewater Podcast. I'm your host, Rashad. Blood and Firewater is a true crime comedy discussion type podcast, so don't be alarmed if you hear a slick joke or two. Get a couple drinks in you. I promise you, we get funnier. We keep the victims and their families out of the punchlines and focus more on other people, places, and things about that case. For this week's episode, we're covering the case of Taylor Wright and Ashley MacArthur. Taylor Wright's body was discovered October 19, 2017, in a shallow grave along the fence line of the Britt family farm in Cantimont, Florida, with a gunshot wound to the back of her head. She was partially covered with cement and potting soil. No eyewitnesses, no murder weapon. This case reminds me of a big old game of Clue. So let me introduce you to the players. All right, so we got Jeff Wright, the ex-husband, Homeland Security officer. Then we have the victim, Taylor Wright, police officer turned private investigator. Then we have Ashley MacArthur, the friend and ex-CSI agent. And then, last but not least, we have Cassandra Waller, the lover and lesbian extraordinaire. This is how they all met, actually, except for Cassandra. Cassandra was, she was off being a lesbian extraordinaire somewhere else. Ashley was married to a police officer at the time, who was friends with Jeff, the Homeland Security officer, who was married to Taylor, and that's how Ashley and Taylor met. Bada boom. The place? None other than good old Pensacola, Florida. Ashley and Taylor were friends. If that tells you how I feel about that. Taylor was in the middle of a divorce from Jeff. Taylor withdrew $100,000 from a joint account that she shared with said Jeff. This was a very, very emotionally and very, very financially driven divorce, and Taylor was focused on getting everything that she could out of it, and yes, that includes all of his money. They both are due for a hearing September 7th, 2017, to deal with these money issues, but Taylor was a no-show. Taylor had given $32,000 of her money to her friend Ashley to hang on to in a kind of like verbal, when I need it back, I need you to give it back, kind of give it back agreement. At the time, Ashley was working for her family business called Pensacola Automatic Amusement. They sold pool tables, bar tables, and things of that sort to bars and amusement parks, but especially to a bar slash restaurant called Styx, a pool hall that Ashley frequented. She was a crime scene investigator very briefly for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, but 6 months after she returned to the family business. She had agreed with Taylor to put the money that she had given her into an account that they could both have access to. August 10th, 2017, Ashley adds Taylor to one of her accounts. And as the court date starts to come up in the September thing Taylor had going on, she tells Ashley that she needs to get that money and she needs to move it to another escrow account. Text from Taylor to Ashley begin August 29th, 2017. I need to get the keys to the safety deposit box. I've got to get this ring in there. I can't be running around with $50,000 in my bag. No response from Ashley. Just nothing. August 31st, 2017. If at all possible, can we go to the bank today? I've got to get this done. My account closed today and my jewelry in the safety deposit box. Court is next week. September 4th. I have to get to the bank tomorrow. September 5th. Any idea on a time to go to the bank? I'm imagining like maybe she's talking to her like like verbally on the phone. So maybe that's, or maybe I just don't have all the text messages. That is very well possible too. Anyway, in this text message log, Ashley responds. So Taylor says, "We only have 2 more hours to get to the bank. You almost ready?" Ashley, finally, "Just called the bank. They closed at 4. Damn.
Bruh.
We have to go to the bank in the morning. What time are you free?" And then I'm assuming there was a verbal phone call there. So because we go into September 6th, I have to get into that deposit box today and get those papers submitted by 4 p.m. I'm out of time. "Ash, there's no way I will make it there and to the bank in 10 minutes. They're going to hold me in contempt for not paying child support and not putting the $25,000 into the escrow account." September 7th. "I've got to get to the bank ASAP this morning and get to the box and deposit that money. I'm going to be held in contempt if I don't get that money in the escrow account. They could potentially put me in jail if I don't pay the child support like today. Please don't be late. They're going to put me in jail if I don't make that deposit today. They're going to check your ID in order to get into that box, so I need you to come with me. Waiting for you at my house. Bank closes at 4. This is way too important for me not to do today. I'm under a court order or my ass will get thrown in jail." So that's it for the text messages. So after all that shit, they finally come to an agreement, once again, to go to the bank on the 8th of September to get this money thing squared away. By the 8th, Taylor Wright would never be seen alive again. September 8th, 2017. Ashley shows up to take Taylor to the bank to get this whole money thing out of the way because she doesn't want to go to jail. She doesn't want anything else to do with the husband anymore. She's done. She's probably glad that this part of her life is over, as, you know, anybody should. She recently started dating a woman named Cassandra Waller, lesbian extraordinaire, and things are escalating in their relationship. Taylor was in the process of moving into Cassandra's house, which is a big step in any relationship, but everything wasn't as peachy keen in that relationship as I've almost kind of led you on to believe. Taylor had just recently admitted that she was talking to another woman in Mississippi, and she was also doing cocaine. Luckily for Cassandra, Taylor hadn't quite got completely unpacked, and a lot of her belongings were still in a moving truck parked outside that was loaned to her by Ashley. Approximately 10 a.m., Ashley and Taylor leave Cassandra's house where Taylor was staying. Around 11 that morning, communication from Taylor had stopped. Cassandra got worried and then shoots Ashley a text, you know, seeing if everything's okay. She hasn't heard from Taylor in a while, and she's just checking in on her. Ashley says everything's okay. They're just out on a farm in Milton, riding horses. Cassandra calls and asks Ashley to have Taylor call her because she's obviously not answering her phone. And Ashley tells her she's riding a horse. "I'll have her call you as soon as she gets done." It's like 3:30, 4 p.m. when this call was placed, which would have been fine if they were in fact in Milton riding horses, which they weren't. Police records indicate that Ashley's phone pinged a tower in Pensacola during the time of their communication. 7 p.m. that night, still no word from Taylor to Cassandra, so Cassandra's getting concerned, obviously. She shoots Ashley a couple more texts saying stuff like, quote-unquote, "this isn't okay," and quote-unquote, "where is Taylor?" Ashley calls Cassandra, all right? Things are escalating, and she tells her that they just left the farm. Taylor went back to her house approximately about 5 p.m., and then Taylor called an Uber and said she was going out for a drink. Sounds suspect. I know. So far, all of my fingers are pointing at the friend. Like, you know, like, what are those? 20 minutes after the phone call between Cassandra and Ashley, Taylor texts Cassandra and tells her that she needs to get her life organized and she'll call her later. Midnight that same night, Ashley receives a text from Taylor saying that she's all right and she just needs some time. Ashley screenshots the text and sends it to Cassandra. Now, do you have to necessarily be the person that the phone belongs to say that, you know, never mind. September 9th, 2017. Nothing in the form of communication from Taylor. September 10th, 2017. Cassandra calls the Pensacola Police Department to report Taylor missing. She had been missing for 2 days, and Cassandra starts thinking maybe she was just walking out of this relationship. So she wanted her shit out of her house. Understandably, like, homegirl, you're just going to ghost me with all your stuff sitting outside? I don't advise you do that unless you don't want this stuff. September 11th, Taylor had all of her belongings in a box truck that Ashley's family's company owned. Cassandra calls Ashley to come get the truck and move it back to her family business parking lot. September 14th, after being missing for 6 days, Cassandra goes down to the police station and submits a formal missing persons report. After that, Cassandra and Ashley search Taylor's car and find guns. Wait, she was a gun nut, by the way. They find guns, like enough guns to be like, hey, I need to put all of these guns in a safe place. September 15th, now, okay, so on the 15th, now we have an investigation because an actual investigator shows up. Standard operating procedure would be to talk to the last person that saw Taylor Wright alive, so she wants to talk to Ashley MacArthur first. And Ashley said, quote, yeah, we are friends. I picked her up on the 8th. I took her to the bank. We rode horses at the farm that I own. We went back to my house, and she called an Uber. That's all I know. Unquote. Now, Nick, you could say that's sketchy, but, when you hang out with somebody on the reg like that, you know, who's to say, you know, you didn't know that was the last time you would ever see him. So it's somewhat believable. However, how many times have you ever heard a story that ends with the phrase, and that's all I know? There's more that they know, obviously. Then Cassandra is questioned. She lets the investigator go through some of her stuff and they find a cashier's check for $19,000. So investigators go to Ashley's house and she feeds them the same story that she had before. She tells the investigators that Taylor was completely stressed out about this court date coming up, the divorce from her husband, the hiding, the $100K, and going to jail because she missed that hearing that was on the 7th. She just needed some time to herself. Investigators dig for more details into the day that Taylor went missing, and Ashley tells the investigators that they also went to a house that Taylor had been surveilling for her PI business. They also went to a farm, and she describes the farm that they went to, and she tells the investigators that she has an aunt that lives in the same area of that farm, but that's not the farm that they went to. They didn't go to the farm that, you know, something about her aunt, whatever. The investigators ask for the address for the house that was under surveillance, and she says she doesn't know, but she'll get it back to them later. Now, here's my thing about the aunt's farm thing. I feel like she had to mention it. It's almost like a self-conscious thing, like almost like you want to confess, but you really don't. So here's the significance behind the aunt farmhouse comment. Maybe she knew that they would make the connection as to why they were in that area, because the name of the road that farm is on is Britt Road. Ashley's name is Ashley Britt MacArthur. The road is named after her family. Let's go to Mr. Homeland Security, Jeff Wright, Taylor's husband. Jeff was looked into, but his alibi checked out. His job had him in another state at the time. The husband did it vibes all over it, but when, you know, your work for a credible source like Homeland Security, you know, I guess they have a way of, you know, double verifying your location. And so the search continued. Ashley was sketchy, so her house and a lot of her properties that she and her family owned were investigated and searched. October 19th, Ashley was brought back down to the police station for, you guessed it, further questioning. Those pesky cell phone towers, I tell you something, right? They just give away everything. The records came back that Ashley and Taylor were not in Milton riding horses like she originally told Cassandra, but they were on that farm that she described to authorities that looked like her aunt's farm, because it was in fact her aunt's farm on Britt Road. And they called her out on it. She could have been trying to cover for her girl while she was trying to skip town. Maybe Ashley could create some kind of diversion so Taylor could skip town with the money and all the authorities were doing was, you know, chasing Ashley around, and she was just a diversion. However, that is not how this case plays out. Ashley kept up her story that Taylor was just being Taylor, and that, you know, this is something that she does. She chooses to run away from her problems. And the authorities, they were like, okay, boom. You lied to us about the phone shit, and we'll let that slide right after we finish with the search warrant that's going on at your family's farm out there on Britt Road.
That's what you're saying.
She has two phones.
You put the phone that she sent your text message on is the same phone that that tower ping sent on.
It may be, but that I have no idea.
Where is Taylor at? You need to tell us where she's at.
I don't know where she is. I don't have a clue.
Well, if you were put in a situation where someone pushed you to do something for whatever reason, maybe against your will, perhaps in self-defense. If something happened and you're scared, don't be scared. Okay, if something happened, like I said, you're not a bad person. You're not a career criminal. This is a person who's traveled across states to take care of a friend. If something happened, tell us.
I don't know where she is.
We have a detective talking to Kyle right now. We know you have text Kyle and asked him if he was at that farm on the 8th. Multiple times.
I mean, they have. I mean, I don't.
And you withhold that information from us. The person who is trying to help a friend out, who cares for their friends, don't lie to the police when they are looking for them.
I didn't think that was.
Tell me what you did to her.
I didn't do anything to her.
Tell me what Zach did.
Somebody harmed her, and she's probably out of that farm.
Zach, it was never even around her.
Kyle.
Kyle's never been around her.
Where is he?
He's never been around her.
But that leaves you.
So you're the only one that was with her on this day at this farm that you did not disclose to us?
I didn't do anything to
her. She's at that farm. We're going to find her because we're executing a search warrant out there right now.
That's fine, but she's not going to be there.
Then where's she at?
I don't know where she is.
Where's her body at?
I don't know where she is.
She's dead, though.
Another famous one-liner that means you're more than likely going to find her out there is, quote, she's not going to be there, unquote. Only because she was there. On that property, they found the body of Taylor Wright in a shallow grave at the edge of the Britt family property. The property that Ashley's family owned. She was shot in the back of the head. Along with the discovery, police were able to get into Ashley's bank account statements, account details, and transactions, and they noticed that there was no shared account or safety deposit box that her and Taylor had. And what's even worse was that Taylor's money was gone just as fast as Ashley deposited into her account and forged checks in Taylor's name. Yeah, authorities picked up on that too. But you would think, someone who went to school and became a crime scene investigator, you would think, just off principle, shooting Taylor in the back of the head wouldn't be Ashley's go-to plan. And it wasn't. Ashley's first plan was to actually poison Taylor with a beer laced with cocaine. Taylor spit the beer out, and it was a waste of like $150 worth of blow. So now, it's time to start shooting, apparently. Seems a bit drastic. The police put the story together like this. Ashley picks up Taylor under the false pretense that they were going to the bank. Ashley and Taylor go to the horse farm because Ashley knew her family would be out for the afternoon. Ashley took Taylor down towards the fence line and shot her in the back of the head. Afterwards, Taylor moved her body and wrapped it in a hammock and hid it in the best efforts of an ex-CSI agent's ability. In the days after the murder, police were able to obtain footage of Ashley at Home Depot, because where do you get all your hide your body tools from? And Ashley purchased cement and soil. It gets worse. Remember when I told you about the text that Taylor sent Cassandra and Ashley about how she needed to get away and blah, blah, blah? Well, that phone activity pinged off the cell towers right by Ashley's house. Ashley MacArthur was arrested, obviously. And her trial date was set for August of 2019. Prior to that court date, Ashley had been found guilty on some other charges. Something about skimming money out of jukeboxes and vending machines that her family rented out. something to the effect of about $13,000, and in an attempt to get rid of the evidence of these said machines and stuff like that, and collect insurance money, she set fire to her own business. In January of 2019, Ashley was charged with racketeering and organized fraud and was sentenced to 7 years in state prison and 3 years of probation. That's before the murder trial started. So when the murder trial started, Ashley's defense came out swinging, and they told the jury that there was absolutely no way Ashley could have did this because, get this, she had a bad back. And the cement they found at the crime scene was a different type than the one Ashley purchased at Home Depot. You know, fast setting, slow setting. I don't know anything about cement. The one she bought was not the same as the one that was at the crime scene. It was a valiant effort. I mean, so once the guilty verdict was read, obviously, Ashley MacArthur was charged with first-degree premeditated murder with a firearm. She was sentenced to life in prison. Hope it was worth the $30,000 she was trying to steal from Taylor. And she played it kind of close. Florida is a welcome to the electric chair state. So homegirl was playing with fire and electricity and horses and jukeboxes and claw machines. That has been the episode for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week. We will have another case. Stay alert. Stay alive.